Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Get early access to Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year. 25% off the i8 bed, the most popular, plus free home delivery, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Are you feeling more fulfilled now that you're back to work?
On August 15th.
No, I need a vacation.
See the movie that critics are saying is an awesome.
Look at that.
Crowd pleasing. Fist pumping. All-out brawl of a film.
You're right about that.
They're coming after our family. Go fix this.
Oh, my.
Nobody 2. Rated R. Only in theaters August 15th.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer?
Ready.
As he steps on the field to start week one for the New York Giants.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Russell Wilson, not a Hall of Famer.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
DJ Jefferson, would you care to chime in on this subject matter as well?
No.
Today's guests, Prime Video NFL analyst Andrew Whitworth, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, Bears senior writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Lots going on. Certainly in the football world, sports world, the world of this program, and places where I work. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll talk about it all with you on this three-hour program. Andrew Whitworth is about to join us. He was at the Rams-Cowboys joint practice yesterday. That is the epicenter right now of the NFL preseason world. We'll talk with him. Mike Mayock, longtime general manager on this program. And we'll chat with him in hour number two. Kevin Fishbane, I wanted to speak to the man who covers the Chicago Bears to see if there's any there. What's going on with Caleb Williams in that camp? There's some word coming out of Cleveland. That Shedeur Sanders is going to start a preseason game and play most of it. So we'll talk about that on this program. And it is a Wednesday. So it's time for a power ranking.
Oh, baby.
And not really? Just an actual straight up power rankings. It's still too early, but I'm going to give you one that's later on, a centerpiece, if you will, on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are
Rich,
you?
Rich, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm well. Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. What's up, Jay Feller? How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And the man who leads the league in requesting or needing roadside service, TJ Jefferson, is here on the program.
This guy.
Good to see you.
When you have a car that's old as you are.
I'm just wondering, like, the number of faulty batteries this man has. Is your car run by a AAA, a 9-volt? What is it? What do we got over there?
You want to know what really happened
No,
here?
No, I don't.
I know.
I'm just glad you're here. There it is. Has Trey Hendrickson been signed?
TJ appearing for a new car, finally.
don't scare me like that, Jay.
Here's the deal. Get off my car right now and just realize the Thin Mint box is still empty.
No, look.
Get out of my dreams and into my car. You almost went full Billy Ocean on us. Yeah. You never really want to go full of Billy. Okay, very good.
I'd start to sing, but I can't do that.
No, you may not.
No more singing.
You may not.
It's going to be tough.
Hey, listen.
I'm very musical.
Listen, we had Albert Breer on this program yesterday.
Breer?
A great tan. He's in Arizona for training camp.
Has he changed his avatar yet?
Well, all he did is just complain on a text with me and money manager, the Stars, Don, about how it's 117 degrees in Glendale, Arizona. And Don's response is like, you're in the desert. It's August. What's your problem? At any rate, listen, The reason why I bring it up is Breer was here, and he's just when he went to Oxnard, he goes, for the first time, I'm actually believing that the Micah Parsons contract standoff and the Cowboys approach to it might have something to do with wanting more buzz for the team. And and as he said, being the A block of First Take.
Yeah.
And again, he's referring to the highly popular Stephen A. Smith program on ESPN. And the A block is a TV term for the first item up for bids. For instance, this is the A block of the Rich Eisen show. So if that is in fact the intention of Jerry Jones, I'm going to give him what he wants. That's because we're talking about it. Because he spoke again. And every single time he speaks, it adds just a new layer to the
frustration.
Frustration or the insanity of it. Yeah, and, you know,
very dumb.
And because when he talks, the grounds shift. You're trying to figure out why he's taking the approach he's taking and why they keep doing this with their star players by making them wait and sit out up till the very end or hold in or have a training camp that's other than things other than just focusing on the task at hand. You know, while you're going through your practices, you look over to the side and you see number 11 standing there. And, or last year, you're going through your practices and you're looking around for number 88 and he's not there. Or last year, you know, you're going through everything and number 4, the leader of the team,
really important,
is being made to wait until the last possible day. And why do you want to go through all that unless you're comfortable doing it and living in your comfort level? And, you know, just shortly before we went on the air, if you wouldn't mind popping up the quote board, we'll get to that first. Yeah. Dak Prescott, according to Yahoo Sports, he knows what this all means because he said to Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports, when Micah Parsons announced his trade request, Dak texted Micah, quote unquote, F man. And Dak says it wasn't an F you, Micah, or F them. It's more of an F. Because, you know, as he said, this is frustrating for everybody involved. He understands what this means. And right now, we get deeper into the F part of it. And the guy who appears to be comfortable with all this is the guy who could basically change it all with one phone call. And Jerry Jones, bless him, talks to the media, likes talking to the media, enjoys, I think, the endeavor until, you know, the questions begin to get repetitive. But it's really his making this bed, and the fact that he's eager to lie back into it with the cameras all around him. And then it's left up to us and the Cowboys fans to interpret what he means. And does it mean a standoff with no answer to it? So here's the two sound bites. We'll play them one at a time that everybody's talking about here on this Wednesday before the full preseason week number one of the 2025 NFL season.
Have you talked to him since the trade request?
I have not, no.
Has your people started any contract talks with his agent?
Excuse me?
Has your negotiator started contract talks with his agent?
No.
Are you hopeful anything could change with this situation this week?
Again, this situation being...
With Micah and the contract.
With Micah. Listen, that's part of what we do. We have continual contract negotiations going on. I know you have Micah at front of mind, but we're continually working on contracts, and all clubs are. And so I don't necessarily... put a big red letter beside any time that we've completed contract negotiations, but I'm appreciative when we do. So, but it's really business as usual.
Now, business as usual, he's basically saying this is what we do with all contracts, or business as usual, this is what we do with the contracts with our big players most of the time. I mean, it doesn't really give you much confidence that we're getting closer to midnight. Because that's the question. When does midnight strike? One would think September 3rd, Wednesday, September 3rd is midnight, day before the game in Philadelphia, or the day you get on a plane and Micah makes the choice of, I'm not even getting on a plane. Don't forget, Dak got on a plane to Cleveland. Now, he might have gotten on the plane because he got a call from his agent saying we're close. But right now, he's not even talking to Micah, nor is anybody from his team talking to his representative. Because again, as you'll hear, the Cowboys feel it's on Micah to actually show up in uniform on opening night if nothing gets done, because he is under contract. It's not like he's a free agent. And I think you can hear that in Jerry Jones's answer when asked about urgency. When is it midnight, sir?
When does it become urgent? I mean, clearly you want him on the field for, against Philadelphia. When does it become urgent that we need to get something resolved one way or another that he's on the field against Philadelphia?
Again, your definition of urgent is not necessarily... I don't believe you gave a definition of urgent. Okay.
And so, when does it get urgent?
So I stay urgent.
Okay. Okay. Any confidence that he will be on the field against Philadelphia?
Again, no. Absolutely not. That has to, a big part of that is his decision. How would I know that? I'm just saying. No, but I'm urgent.
Well, that's, one would think, of the polar opposite of don't lose any sleep over it. That was the last time we heard from him on the subject matters. He told folks like yourself, don't lose any sleep over it. And the way I interpreted that is like, don't lose any sleep over it. This thing's going to get handled at some point. And we'll sign him. We know it. And that's the end of that. You know, but now he's like, it seems as if the approach is, what do I need to talk to him for? He's under contract. Why do we need to reach out to the agent? We already discussed some sort of a framework of a deal back in March that he took off the table. Wait a minute. Why is it sensitive? You know, when you ask me of a sense of urgency about, obviously you want him on the field in Philadelphia. You know, of course I want him on the field in Philadelphia, but he's under contract. So it's really up to him whether he wants to play. That's the approach he's clearly taking right now. Now, again, I'm not Jerry Jones. I'm not the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have a bust in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm not on Landman. I don't have all of Jerry's decades of Hall of Fame acumen, right? I would handle it completely differently. I would 1,000,000% start the process of calling the agent and saying, let's end this. I want him. We all know he's not playing for the number. I don't want to go through this anymore. So let's get to it. And I'd want to do it before Aiden Hutchinson sets a market that I don't want to surpass. I don't want the Lions to beat me here, and I don't want the Bengals to suddenly wake up and go, oh, okay, we'll pay Hendrickson a certain amount of money. I'd like to get it done. That's what I would want to do. I'd want to remove all this stuff, give Brian Schottenheimer his best player on defense, if not the entire team, right out there on the field. But then again, there's always something going on here in the NFL where there's an iceberg, and we only see the tip. And all we keep hearing about in this media business, and you know I don't trade in rumor or anything like that, but there's a full-on conversation, you hear it all the time, that there's some Micah fatigue in that Cowboys facility. You hear it, I hear it, people write about it, people talk around it. And I'm wondering if this is like, you know, on behalf of those in the front office or those in management or those anywhere in the building that has Micah fatigue, Jerry's fighting a fight for them. And some people might be sitting there in the Cowboys organization and going, that's right, Jerry. Make him simmer. Make him sit. I mean, we know he's eventually going to come back here anyway, but maybe there's some sort of a humbling that he wants him to undergo here. Don't forget, remember when Tank Lawrence left? Threw that verbal lob back into Dallas telling Micah, stop podcasting and focus on your stuff. I mean, there's something underneath. I'm wondering if that's at play here. You have to start wondering about that sort of stuff. And that obviously makes the personal get a little bit deeper. But again, in the same way, talent over everything, whatever there might be in terms of gear grinding with the front office or people in the organization and Micah, this guy is as talented as they come. Once again, there's two people who ever played the National Football League with a dozen or more sacks in the first 4 years of his career. One of them is named Micah Parsons. The other is Reggie White. Talent over everything. And in that respect, he's going to get paid. Right? And it's not just talent over everything as well. It's you need to win football games, and he's the guy to do it. And, you know, personal aspects be damned, just like talent over everything, there's another one, money over everything. Hmm. And we saw that with Myles Garrett. I hate to keep on bringing up anything mercenary with him, but he went from, I'm out of here, they can't win here. Oh, wait a minute. Deshaun Watson's out all next year. We might have Joe Flacco, and we're going to draft somebody at the position. I'll go back there for $40 million a year. And now that might be a cheap deal at the end of the day. I still believe, as we continuously take this cheese every day, that at the end of the day, Thursday night football, banners raised, Eagles fans are going nuts. Let's say they win the toss, they take the ball. Micah Parsons will be lined up across from Jalen Hurts with a new fat deal. Now, will all bygones be bygones personally, emotionally, and all that stuff? Maybe so, maybe not. The first paycheck comes in, then it will. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And over again. The good news here, TJ, is I don't know who the next guy who's going to go through this grinder for the Cowboys. Because after Micah gets done, I don't know. Although the Cowboys do draft very well. Have to give them that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that they draft them well. I would just love for them to be signed earlier so these moments don't have to happen for the players, for the fans, and that maybe, just maybe, the few millions that they save by signing somebody early can add to another player on special teams or defense, offense, offensive line, so you get some sort of depth. That does appear to be a case of why the Cowboys sometimes fall short.
You hit the nail on the head there.
So this is all happening. Oh, and by the way, Aaron Donald pops out on Instagram and other places a markup of Micah in a Rams uniform, and Micah and ooh, responds, and Aaron Donald thinks he might have to come back. Ooh. Oh, and you know who was also at the joint practice? You know who was also at the joint practice yesterday where I guess many of the our friends in NFL media, including Ian Rappaport, saying, Matthew Stafford has a disc problem that required an epidural. Guess who was there on Tuesday? Our next guest, Andrew Whitworth. Oh, and guess who walked and talked like he was Jim Hill with Micah Parsons? Yeah, that's a Jim Hill reference.
They need to delete that tweet.
He did the walk and talk with Micah. Andrew Whitworth, lots to talk about with Wit.
Who's house?
Our house with Andrew Whitworth of Prime Video, Thursday Night Football. Andrew Whitworth coming up.
Delete that.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed. Luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like, and it gives you your best night's sleep, night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Sue's. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Get early access to Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year. 25% off the i8 bed, the most popular, plus free home delivery, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
You buy a pair of socks, that's two socks. You buy a pair of Bombas socks, that's four socks. Because one purchased is one donated. Socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters. So when you buy a pair of super comfortable Bombas socks, you're also donating a pair. Bombas customers have powered over 150 million donations. So Bombas would like to thank you 150 million times. But we only have like 30 seconds. Go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
Back here on the program. Listen, I know you're a little bit raw here, so understand this comes from the heart. You know, as you know, on richeisenshop.com, where you can get mugs like this, hats, shirts, or whatever. Should we, I'll ask you, Chris, because I know that the answer is going to be in the corner here. Should we add Rich Eisen Show branded jumper cables? For TJ.
100%. Yeah.
Do you need jumper cables? Do you have them in the car?
No, he needs a whole new automobile.
But that has nothing to do with a battery.
Here's what happened. Okay. My car, there was something wrong with it. My mechanic is fixing it. He's cool enough that he allows me to use one of his cars.
Okay.
So I don't have to have
a loaner?
It's a loaner.
So the loaner ran out of batteries?
So it's like a Porsche. It's a Porsche like SUV, or something.
Oh my goodness, pardon me, sir.
So what happened is,
I mean, if you're gonna be broken down behind the airport, that's not a bad car to be broken down behind the airport.
So I get into the car this morning and I think what happened is I forgot to, because it's not my car, I'm not used to it. Yes. I don't think I turned the lights off last night. So I got in the car, I put the key in, the battery was dead. So that's why.
The amount that you've spent on repairs, just since I've known you, you could have had a new car by now.
I really haven't spent that much on repairs. Like I said, my mechanic's my guy, so I get a little bit of a discount.
Okay, I just don't know. Do you need a AAA membership?
I got State Farm.
Okay, good enough.
They'll be at the crib at 12:30.
And again, I don't know does he need a AAA membership or a AA battery?
I need someone who sells cars. Who out there is a car salesman that wants to hook your boy up?
Hook your boy up.
Hook your boy up. What does that mean?
He wants some free cars. What he wants.
You want a free car?
Clearly.
Free?
What does he mean by that? What do you mean hook your boy up?
Well, Brockman knows. When he got his car, he went to a dealership down the way they knew him from. Oh, the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, is that right? Did you get an MSRP knockoff?
No. Absolutely not.
So the guy didn't know you from the show and didn't like.
He knew me. That didn't knock any zeros off.
I have fewer answers than before the segment began.
That's not what I remember.
He was in the middle of the of Oxnard on Tuesday, chatting it up with Micah. His old quarterback has got back problems. I mean, he's in the middle of everything. Joining us back again on the Rich Eisen Show, ladies and gentlemen, from Amazon Prime Video, one of the best of the best, Andrew Wordsworth. Good to see you, Andrew. How are you?
Hey. Good to see you, brother. How we doing?
I'm fine. What ocean expanse are you in front of photographically? Where are we right now?
You know what? I'm actually in town, Rich. I'm just down here at the Fairmont. We got the Amazon seminar starting. You know the fun seminars. You get back.
Yeah.
You got to go over all the stuff going on this season. So we're excited, man. Get this thing kicked off.
Okay. Is Al in charge of the lunch menu?
He is. It's going to be lots of protein.
No greens.
Zero green.
Okay.
Zero green. Unless it's like a chimichurri sauce, I don't think it's happening.
Well, when they explain the rules, because the NFL is all about explaining the rules, the new rules, right? Making sure that the broadcasters know what they're talking about. Can you please take a photograph of Al Michaels being told this sort of stuff? Him basically going, I've got 50 years in here. Like, let's move along. Let's get to lunch. Can you take a picture of that, please, for me, Andrew?
Yeah, I always feel bad for them. It's like, please tell Al Michaels the rules. Like, this guy doesn't know every rule and where it started and where the one previous came from. But, you know, the best part, Rich, actually, of our presentations is those poor people trying to get through that meeting without Richard Sherman destroying every rule it's not fair. It is the most entertaining part. I don't think anybody says a word. They just watch Sherm go to it because he gets after it.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember. We had Rod Woodson back in the day with the NFL Network having to sit through these things, and he would just sit there steaming. Every rule helps the offense. Every rule helps the offense. So I've been there with Rod. You're there with Richard. I love that.
How's this pass interference? How is this pass interference? It's so great.
And it's like, can we move on? Because I'm hungry. Like, let's go.
It's always right before lunch. And you're like, all right, Sherm, it's enough. Like, you're not changing the rule right here in this room. So let's go.
Love it. Love it. All right. So all that said, glad that you're taking some time out from the annual symposium with the NFL and Amazon Prime Thursday Night Prime Video team. But let's get to where you were yesterday. Boy, there's lots to talk about with you. You were at the Rams Cowboys joint festivities up in Oxnard. First order of business is the man you used to protect back in the day. What can you tell me about Matthew Stafford? Apparently, he's got some sort of a disc ailment that required an epidural, is what Ian Rappaport was reporting today from NFL Network. Andrew, what can you tell me?
Yeah, it sounds like he showed up basically to camp and kind of a little prior to camp was just having some back issues, as I well know, playing into my 40s. You know what? That's part of getting old and playing the game of football. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he just decided to be, you know, precautious with it and really take care of himself. And, you know, it's like, hey, what can we do to probably, you know, prolong the recovery process as much as we can? I mean, this guy's played a lot of football. He took a lot of snaps with Devontae and all those guys in the offseason throwing. So it's not like they feel like, oh, man, we're not going to miss time in that sense. Let's make sure this guy's healthy. Let's make sure the back is great before we get out there because there's really no reason to push it. And this is also an advantage you have when you have a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo as your backup, a veteran who's played, who's been in the big moments and played on the biggest stage. So you feel confident in, hey, let's make sure our guy is fully healthy before he has to go back out there. And you know, football is football. Even though you're not hitting the quarterback in camp, things happen. And he's going to have to protect himself. And you want to make sure he feels good and we feel good about, you know what, week one, Houston Texans, that's what matters.
Right. And obviously we're more than 3 weeks away from that. All that said, though, Andrew, I mean, this is not the ideal way for training camp to go in the first 2 weeks where you're week to week, you're getting an epidural, you're seeing specialists, you're doing all that stuff. Anything that you can share of a level of concern here?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it in Cincinnati, right? I mean, we've seen how it affected them in training camp with Joe Burrow having time missed over the last few years and really that slow start. And you look at this Rams team, it's been something they've dealt with the last few years of just the injury bug. Not necessarily that they've started slow, but they've really had lots of injuries early in the season that dictated a little bit how they started. And then they kind of made their runs late in the year. And I think it's one of those things, if you've seen how they've been able to finish after the bye week the last few years, you know, if you could get that fast start, if you could get ahead a little bit, you know, maybe you're playing at home in L.A. and still instead of on the road in Philadelphia, you know, in the month of January. So that's that opportunity for them. They want to win this division again. It's going to be a challenge. I think all the other teams in this division have gotten better, and I think they've got to have a fast start. So, yeah, obviously there's concern, but I don't think there's concern on whether Matthew Stafford will be out there week one playing quarterback for the Rams.
Okay, so, and again, before I move on to another thing that you were talking about on Tuesday at this joint practice with the Cowboys, and anything you can share from Stafford? Again, I know you don't speak for him, but was he bummed, nervous, chill? I mean, I'm sure you had some form of communication with him that you might be able to share with me here. Andrew,
yeah, no? I think that, yeah, I think it's like any other veteran in those situations. I've been there. I had a patella issue later in my career where I had to sit out a lot of practices in camp. I think, you know, the other guy I got to spend some time with yesterday is frustrated as well when you're sitting out. But yeah, you're frustrated. Listen, we play this game because we love it. And I know people make it about performance and all this, but you love playing the game. You don't want to sit there on the side and watch everybody practice. Like, you want to be out there. Even at my age, when I was 40, yeah, I missed practices, but for the most part, if we were in pads, I was in the practice because I want to compete. I want to get better at my craft. Those things are important to you. So yeah, Stafford's, you know, he's frustrated. But the duty is, he's trying his best not to show that to his teammates and be the leader he is all the time. And you know what, in his own time, I'm sure he's pushing himself as hard as he possibly can, because you want to be out there with the guys, and it's miserable to not be. There is nothing worse than watching an NFL practice, wanting to be out there on that field. I mean, heck, every one of them I go to, I'm like, man, I think I could put some pads on and get out there and play around, because you just, it just gives you that feeling. You don't ever want to be the guy standing on the side.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of hanging out in Oxnard, California with the Rams and the Cowboys as they're joint practicing. Andrew, this footage made it all over the place. Look who is chatting it up. That would be Micah Parsons and Andrew Whitworth. A little walk and talk. All right. Look at you. We're walking. We're talking. We're sharing. What are we talking about? Andrew, what are we talking about here? Andrew?
I mean, the first thing I take away, Rich, is, gosh, I look petite these days. I mean, you know, I love it. I just, you know, I know.
You're still way bigger than Micah Parsons, man, and you're not letting yourself go,
Rich.
Either, Andrew. You're not letting yourself go. I saw you
at
the American Century Championship. I saw the way you were going about your business. You know,
I'm trying.
That said, but no, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, you're just trying to get it. You know, I reached out to him earlier in camp and just really, you know, we've had a relationship. It was, you know, well documented a few years ago. We worked together in the offseason some. And so, you know, we've always kind of kept that relationship. And you know, I just reached out and checked on him, man. I mean, this game can take a lot of stress on you. These contract situations aren't fun, man. They're miserable for guys. And you just don't know what the right answer is, right? You look at a guy like him, you get drafted with an expectation to come here and do something. You've way outdone that. And you've been the player that a team hoped that you'd be when they drafted you and they spent the draft capital on you. And you've been that times 10. You've been one of the best, you know, and so you would respect that same franchise that drafted you is going to be doing more than anything they can in the world. They want to take care of you, show you they appreciate you, and then we move on and let you be the leader of this defense we drafted you here to be a part of. And instead, it just seems to be these long, drawn-out processes with the Cowboys. And, you know, I think that he's frustrated. He's upset. I mean, anybody would in those kind of situations. You've earned the opportunity. You don't feel like you're getting it. And it's, and you know, just, you can just feel that he wants to be out there with his teammates having fun. He was talking to me about the young guys and some of the young rushers that he can't wait to kind of teach them a couple things, and they've got a lot of promise, and he's really excited about seeing some of those guys and how they're going to, you know, develop in their career. So, man, he just wants to be out there with his teammates doing what he loves to do, and get this whole contract thing behind him, because he loves playing the game. He loves competing, you know. So right there, he was telling me about, man, I want to go against these guys. I want to go against different guys. I want to feel what these Rams O linemen are like, you know, so I can get a gauge of where I'm at in my progression, you know. So it's just, it's a frustrating time when you're in these kind of situations and all you want to do is play football and get taken care of and you feel like you've earned your spot.
Well, what, how resolute can you call him right now, Andrew, because he said he doesn't want to play there anymore, and I understand that's an emotional response potentially. What do you think? What'd you get the sense from him?
I got the sense, really, honestly, that it's one of those situations that it feels like this one feels a little different. Will it probably have the same ending? I'm guessing that if the contract gets worked out right before week one, listen, the Cowboys, clearly after watching that scrimmage, they need him desperately.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know what, Rich? You know what they looked like yesterday? They looked like a football team that I love Shoddy, and I think he's going to do a great job. But right now, they look like a football team that for the last couple years has put their best players on blast at the beginning of the season for trying to get paid for things they've earned. And they've continued to extend it and make it ugly. And they look like, hey, man, if our best players who show up and do it in the best way possible get treated like this, who else on the team has any possibility of getting rewarded or feeling like they're going to get treated a certain way, I think you start to create a culture where guys just feel underappreciated. And they look like that to me. They look like a team that's a little frustrated. Who's our leaders? Who's our guys? Who's the guys that set in the tone for how we compete and practice every single day? You need those guys out there. And I feel bad for Coach Schottenheimer, because it's one of those things. I want my best football player on the field every day going out and showing us how in the world we're going to be great. I look back at Aaron Donald's contract situation, some of the ones we've had with the Rams, like it was different because you had other veteran leaders in that situation, and it was a happy situation. It was, hey, we want AD here. There is nowhere else he's going to be. We love this guy. We're trying to figure out the contract. So no one's sitting there worried about their guy. This is ugly. It feels like, man, Micah wants out of here now. Nothing's really, you know, good being said on either side about that whole situation. It just makes all the guys worry, like, man, are we doing all of this? And we're going to be 6-11. You know what I mean? And that feeling is real. And you creating the doubt in your football team of how good they're going to be when you're taking their best player and putting him on blast every single day. And so I think that, to me, it's one of those things, man. Like, this is who you drafted. This is who you wanted. He's lived up to that expectation. You take care of him and you say, hey, man, go lead our football team for the next 4 to 5 years and let's go win football games.
That sounds so simple. It really does. Well, and again,
sounds like
the example I've been using here over the last, you know, few days is Steelers. They could have said, TJ, listen,
yeah,
you know, you're past 30 and we've got concerns about the back end of this deal. And yeah, I know that we've got a 41-year-old quarterback and we need to all, you know, get in this Rodgers boat together. But, you know, we've got to talk about guaranteed dollars. We got to talk about back ends. We got to figure this out. And, We're gonna play it out with you, and we're gonna make you hold in, and yep. we're gonna make Tomlin answer questions about it, which would be entertaining for us in the media, and we're gonna have Rodgers get asked questions about it. We're gonna have him walk around in his pajamas, and we're just gonna play this thing out. We're gonna stretch it out, and that's just the way we're gonna do it. And instead, they did the exact opposite. It's totally removed. That's not a question at all. But this is just the way, I guess, the Cowboys do things. And in that regard, you know, the fans and all of us in the media, we go through the roller coaster of when Jerry Jones makes himself available to the media, which is always great, at least for us. And after the initial trade demand, he told Cowboys fans through the media, don't lose any sleep over it. And yesterday, when he was asked if he was confident of him being there in week one on the Thursday Night Football opening, he said, basically, absolutely not confident about it now, because it's up to Micah. So what's your confidence level, having been there, done that, spoken to Micah, walked around? What do you think?
My usual would be, I put this in kind of the Cincinnati category of Trey Hendrickson, is like, oh, man, it's going to get done. The guy's too good.
Right.
This is just how these things go. It gets ugly for a little while with certain organizations. That's how they choose to do it. I don't know on this one. Something just tells me that these two maybe don't get along great. Like, I just feel like there's a disconnect in whether Jerry likes him a whole lot in the sense of, like, how they're going to do business together, and whether Micah feels respected. And so I'm interested to see how this one plays out, because I think Micah is one of those guys that it's less about the money. It's less about all those things. And I'm not saying that's not important, but the disrespect and just kind of the dismissal makes him not even think about the zeros and the money. It makes him be like, wait, like, I don't let anybody treat me that way. And so I did just kind of have that feeling, like, knowing Micah and how he is, like, man, he wants to play ball. He cares about getting out there and competing. And so to kind of hear the dismissal of these things, I think that kind of probably frustrates him, is my guess. And I would be that way too. I was very much that way as a player. Like, I want to be respected first and foremost. I mean, I always tell young guys when I was in a locker room, you're a man before you're anything else. And don't ever forget that. And so, you know, who you are every day matters, and how you allow people to treat you, you coach it or you allow it. And that's just the facts. And so, you know, if dollars are the most important thing to you, then let that be known. And if they're not, respect is the most important thing, then stand on it. And so I think this is one of those situations where both guys are kind of putting their feet in the ground. And that's why I think it might get a little ugly.
Well, I guess in the meantime, we'll just have to keep stirring things up by talking about it, or at least talking about it.
We'll do what we do, Rich. And you know, I'm a full media guy now. You're four. You know what I mean? I'm at the seminar. I'm just, I don't even know if people remember I played football. I'm just a media guy. Just a media guy.
You're not a talking head.
We're just here.
You're a head that is talking right now, but you're not a talking head. Because in the meantime, just the rare combination of a goat, Photoshop, and a social media account, Aaron Donald having a little bit of fun with this.
That's scary.
And Micah responding, don't tell me info like that. And then he put the Twitter account of his agent out there, and Rambling Man, Rams account, hitting the jackpot, having Aaron Donald and Micah and all that stuff talking about it. And I mean, of all the things that probably won't happen, this is one of them, right, Andrew?
I mean, yeah, well, listen, if it does happen, I'm going to tell you right now, if that happens, I'm coming back as the U tight end, just goal line situations only, because I think that's all I got. All right. That's all I got. But listen, I'm going to be on that team.
You
got
to go. Yeah. Remember this, Andrew. Listen, remember, you got to go like this first.
The heavy tight end, baby, and just take a couple third down snaps and goal line. But if that happens, I'm on that team. Let me tell you, I'm going to be hitting Sean up every day. Just give me whatever waiver I got to sign, I'm in.
Dude, I mean, honestly, the Cowboys. That's the whole point of this, right? Like, and just to come full circle here, Cowboys aren't trading him. They're just not trading him. He's not going to be traded. This will not happen. They are not going to trade him, and because he is under contract, the only thing is Jerry Jones completely, you know, off the reservation to the point where he will not sit down and say one day, like, give me a couple hours and I will handle it with the agent and the player? Because this thing could be handled. It could probably be handled in 2 hours, you know.
And there's no doubt it could. I think it's the stubbornness at this point, Rich. It's really just Micah's frustrated. You know, Jerry's, he's being stubborn in the sense of how this is going. This is one of your best players. Like, this isn't something you go, oh, man, we'll figure it out. I mean, this is what you did with Dak, with CD.
Right.
And how did that work out? Right. And so it's literally like, hey, man, let's sit down and let's figure this out this weekend. We got, like, hey, we play a preseason game against the Rams. We're off the next day.
Yes.
It's really 2 days that are irrelevant. Let's sit down, you, the agent, let's get this cleaned up and let's move on. I look at this. Here's a great example. One of the reasons people haven't even talked about this, but like Stafford's situation and when it happened, the timing of it.
Yes.
One of the reasons that was done at that time, Stafford was under contract for more years with the Rams. So why was this even a conversation? The reason was the year before, Matthew had, you know, obviously had the contract dispute going into camp of figuring out what it was that made him feel happy to be there and content on being the leader of the Rams. And they felt like, hey, you know what? Just like other teams have these situations, we don't like that being the narrative as we're going into camp and we're trying to build as a Super Bowl contender. Let's get this done way ahead of time to where anything that's contentious, anything that's like, hey, this is business, let's get this done now to where when we move on in March and April as a football team, all of that's behind us and we're talking about how do we go win Super Bowls. And so to me, this is one of those conversations that this should have been done so long ago, because this is your guy. You drafted him to be exactly who he is. He's lived up to his part. This is easy stuff. Or you say, this isn't the kind of guy we want here, even though he is a great player. We don't like him. We don't want him in our building. Let's move on. Go get the picks and let's build our football team for next year. So we got a new head coach coming in anyways. So it's a great time to change the culture. But you have to make these decisions sooner, because you have to worry about the actual attitude, culture, the mentality of your football team and the direction they feel like they're going if you want to compete and win football games in the NFL right now.
Right. And if it doesn't work out, then you get the draft choices right then and there.
Yes.
For the draft that is upcoming, and you know where the draft choices are going to be pegged in the upcoming draft rather than make the trade now. Like, let's just say, and I'll let you go. Let's just say this thing that we saw, on the Rams fan account is possible, right? That this happens. Why would the Cowboys make a deal with a team for whom the first round pick could be 32nd overall? Or yep. You don't know, right? It's all over the map potentially, but you know it's going to be at the bottom of the rung. Why would you, like, Micah should be like top of the top draft. That's why you don't make trades now. It's just none of it makes sense, which makes me think it's going to get done, you know, at the end of the day. So
right, and that's what makes it just a ridiculous way to do business, because all you're doing is just kind of eroding a little bit your team atmosphere and mentality of how they feel about the season. That's all you're doing is creating some doubt for your football team. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing you're really accomplishing with this.
Right, and it just, like, listen, better planning equals better results, and you saw that. From me personally at the American Century Championship, very little planning, wound up tied for 88th. So, hey, you know what I mean? That. Look at me. But it means there's room for improvement next year. You know what I mean?
Hey, we can always move up, baby.
Andrew, you're the best. Say hi to everybody there at Prime Video, sir.
Hey, appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
The one and only Andrew Whitworth right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Awesome. Just a lot of truths being spat right there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls, Mike Mayock, top of the next hour.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else, not even us. WhatsApp, message privately with everyone.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit Ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
So how much further along were you with the being a Chicago resident in the Chicago classic, The Fugitive?
How that came next.
That was next.
That was another movie that came through probably 4 years later.
4 years later?
Yeah, and then I was a local hire for that one as well. Yeah.
That is the most, in my mind, rewatchable movie there is. Oh,
Fugitive, does it hold up or what?
It does.
How about that train wreck?
The train wreck at the top, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a remote drop for me all the time. Does not matter where it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we are such huge fans of the film.
Huge.
We wanted, on behalf of the fans of the film, thank you for catching the switching of the samples.
Oh, the liver samples?
Without you.
You are welcome.
RDU90.
You know?
Wow.
You found it.
You know that? I'm so glad you remember that detail because that's, I would say to people, that you don't remember from that? Well, I'm the one who did the liver sample. I solved the mystery.
You did.
Of the liver samples.
Well, you and Bones, you
and
know?
Bones, of course. God, you remember everything.
Harrison Ford, perhaps the most beat up movie star of all time.
Yeah,
he gets his.
Oh yeah, well he does his own stunts too. I mean that's his own damn fault.
Is that, did you do your own stunts?
I did all my own stunts. I actually handled the liver samples with these fingers and ungloved.
See,
that's not sanitary.
You know that's why you're as successful as you are, Jane. You don't leave any stone unturned.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I go the extra mile.
So The Fugitive, I'm so glad we got to catch up on that. Yeah. Next one for Jane Lynch. Your character in 40-year-old virgin Paula was originally written as a male character.
Yes, indeed. It was written for a man. And then with my eternal gratitude, Steve Carell's wife, Nancy Walls, who's a wonderful actress herself, said, because I knew them from Chicago, said, you have a lot of men in your film. Why don't you read Jane for the store manager? And so we improvised together and we had a lot of fun. And Judd Apatow said, oh, we'll cast her. So I'm very grateful to that whole crew of people for giving me that job.
Do you remember the song you sang in that?
Yes, film? I do.
In Spanish, can you?
Oh, absolutely. I'll just tell you right away that this is from an ALM Spanish dialogue or diálogo, as you call it. And it's
yes.
And it's a dialogue and it goes like this. Cuando arreglen mi cuarto, no encuentro nada. ¿Dónde va con tanta prisa al partido de fútbol? Thank you. And it means whenever I clean my room, I can't find anything. Where are you going with such haste to a football game? It's not romantic at all.
No, but the way it sounds.
Yeah, it's the way you deliver
that's
it.
That's it.
Jane Lynch, 32 years ago today, The Fugitive debuted in a theater near you.
Wow.
That's indeed. Awesome. All of those fun times on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I think we're nearing 963,000 followers, subscribers there. Good times. Jane Lynch on this program multiple times. Awesome. Just a delight.
Love it.
An absolute delight. So how she remembered the Dialgo off the top of her head. Right? So, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. How much time till the radio audience returns here? 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Fantastic. How great was Whitworth, man? Just spitting the truth.
Dude. Well, he was at the center of the football universe right now. He was right there.
Walking and talking. Finding out from Micah what's
Rams,
up.
Rams, Stafford, Micah. Who God knows
what's fantastic.
Going on. Yeah, Rich, while we have a couple minutes here at the end of the hour, I wanted to ask you, news was made official this morning. ESPN and the NFL announced the sale finally went through with ESPN acquiring NFL Network and NFL Red Zone and the NFL acquiring a 10% stake in ESPN. Obviously, you're the longest tenured NFL Network employee.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this?
Okay. Interesting you asked me. This is Mayock's about to join, one of my many colleagues throughout the 22 years that I've been with NFL Network. And yeah. I guess my first thought was I'm blown away, you know, just totally blown away that this is happening. But you know, in a good way, because for various reasons, obviously, you know, this show is going to Disney Plus, ESPN Radio and ESPN. Yes, we are the direct to consumer, ESPN world that, they're building with. They threw the WWE, PLEs are coming right in 2026. But I just think of the 22 years of the people that I have worked with, either from Jump, who are still there, or over the 22 years of people who are, you know, diehard NFL fans and poured their blood, sweat, and tears into creating the NFL Network and creating a sense of style and substance that I think is now its own brand, that... that over 22 years, that it's part of a package that's worth 10% of one of the greatest media, sports media companies ever created. Mm-hmm. And that's a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, I've been kicking around, obviously, some conversations with people with whom I work over in Inglewood at the beautiful facilities, by the way, with so many different studios. It can be filled up with some great NFL programming for, you know, what appears to be our new parent company. And just the number of people who have, again, created a sense of our own selves as a competitor to ESPN over 22 years, but a friendly one, that the opportunity to keep it going with a company like ESPN that is clearly all about the NFL is kind of exciting. And there's a lot of people in Inglewood who know how to do it and have done it for 22 years. And I think are eager to roll up their sleeves and see what this future can bear and bring. And that's kind of exciting on that front. And again, we're all learning what this means. In 7 minutes from this conversation, Roger Goodell is going to hold a town hall with NFL employees. And trust me, I'll be eager to see some of the texts from that.
Absolutely.
So we're still learning what it is, but it just blows me away that it is in fact happening. And so those are my thoughts on it. In case everyone's wondering, like, well, how would it work? NFL Network and ESPN, and you know, we've already done the crossovers. Remember, I popped on First Take prior to the draft. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, popped on NFL Live, and some NFL Live people popped on, you know, NFL Network programming. And, you know, it's been there. We've done it before. Now, I guess it's just 24/7, 365. And, I mean, it's a brave new world. And I know the NFL management team is excited about what this means moving forward. So... But again, there's a lot of people who work up, you know, down to 105 here in Inglewood, California, the new facilities that we moved into a few years ago, because we started growing so much from our old facilities in Culver City, California, for those who may want to GPS it. You know, that was an exciting time. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of spaces to fill up and a lot of NFL to talk about and a lot of people who know how to do it sitting there that have the institutional knowledge of NFL Network and have the institutional knowledge of the NFL already built into our DNA. Like, you don't need to introduce us to, you know, the league.
Right.
And the way to do drafts and combines, if that is going to be continued. And I personally, I hope it does, because that's what I've been doing for 22 years.
Yeah, that was what Kyle Brandt said on Good Morning Football. It's excitement, but then unknown, you know. But I think you can have both things and both feelings at once, you know, for something as huge as this, obviously.
I mean, the way I look at it, you know, Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager was on it, Jason McCourty's on it. Where do they work now?
You're right.
I mean, that alone, just again, there's some ways that you can plug the brands together.
Yeah.
And go together forward as an exciting team, you know. You don't need to tell. I know all the people who work in the NFL at the ESPN. Many of them were there when I was there 22 years ago. We can't believe it. You know, I'm going back.
Going back,
right? Like Al Michaels' title of his memoir. You can't make this up. Mm-hmm. Like, this is truly can't be made up. That 22 years after the launch, it is worth so much. That there, let's just swap. You take NFL Network, we'll take 10%. We'll throw in some other things. By the way, there's a big yada, yada, yada there about the other things. Yada. I don't know what those are, but we're learning. And again, there's a bunch of people in Inglewood that are excited to roll up their sleeves. Yeah. Mike Mayock coming up.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.